This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Silicon Valley Bank, affectionately called SVB, the federal regulators, the California regulators, closed down the bank some days past. What is to be done with the pieces of the closed down bank, given that its very high profile had to do with startups, innovative firms, Silicon Valley as the name of the bank, and the tech geniuses of these last decades? I welcome Emily de la Barrière, who is a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, focus on China. She and her colleague Nathan Pekarsik, penning a piece for The Hill some days past about what to watch for as SVB's pieces are moved to the marketplace and then sold to investors. Is the plan, it's not complete yet, but it's the plan. Emily, a very good evening to you. You are co-founders with your colleague Nathan Pekarsik of Horizon Advisory. I take this because you watch China very closely for as a consulting firm and as a fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. What was your immediate thought when you heard that SVB, with all of these startups, I don't know how many there were, certainly 94% of the depositors were above the $250,000 insurance, we're told. So we're talking about well-to-do people who have been funded and are making money now. What was your first thought when you heard that SVP was to be sold? Good evening to you, Emily.
Good evening, and thank you for having me. I think my first thought, and this probably shows how what staring at China for the past decade has done to my brain, but my first thought was, here's a moment of disruption in the U.S. technology, innovation, startup ecosystem. And this is a moment that China is going to try to take advantage of. Beijing is adept at seeing crisis or chaos in change in the United States, in the international system, and jumping in to find footholds and advantage wherever it can.
And the example you offer is a firm that I'd forgotten existed, but it's wonderful to find it again in your essay at The Hill. A123, you describe as an electric vehicle battery. This is before Tesla became the dominant player in the solar system, launching a Tesla into orbit forever. A123, what was it and what happened to it?
So A123 was a leader, probably unfortunately ahead of its time, in electric vehicle battery technology. And they were very promising technologically, but went bankrupt and were acquired by a Chinese player. There's plenty of digging into the bankruptcy that you could look at to see whether maybe there were Chinese forces behind it. But the short of it is they went bankrupt, were acquired by a Chinese player, which gave China one of the key technological footholds or bases that it was able to use to become what it is now, which is effectively the dominant global player in electric vehicle battery technology.
So a broken window on U.S. technology was not reviewed by the Congress and by order of the administration, because there is this entity called CFIUS. And I remember a huge flap when somebody tried to buy part of the Port of Newark, I think. CFIUS went into action. So did CFIUS review or look at the fact that China's Wang Shang, do I say that, picked up the pieces in bankruptcy? Was this reviewed?
Wanxiang, exactly. That was the Chinese company that acquired A123. And that's a great question about CFIUS review. CFIUS did review the deal and did approve it, which I think underscores a reality of U.S. like investment review has tightened over the past decade, but there still remain a host of loopholes, even in an environment where Chinese investments are screened.
And I love the word loophole. So let's go to another example, SVB example. Immediately after the crisis, we heard over the weekend following when SVB was taken over by regulators in the market day that the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Mr. Hunt, and the Prime Minister of Great Britain, Rishi Sunak, who was traveling at the time but takes phone calls, moved effectively to sell the UK version of SVB to HSBC, which is a very large bank with business around the world. When you read that report, or what does that report tell you? They sold it for £1, so they moved it off of the books of the regulators and into the hands of a bank that theoretically will support its depositor class. What risk do you see here in these bare details of one piece of SBP going into the international market?
I mean, this confirmed for me the idea that China could potentially position to take advantage of this moment of disruption and therefore also of opportunity. And not only because HSBC as a bank, which acquired the UK arm of SVB, has a host of exposures to China and the Chinese market. It was originally founded in China. Major part of its operation is there. And in fact, its top shareholder is a Chinese state-backed entity. This doesn't directly suggest Beijing putting its hands on the scales, but it does suggest a Chinese positioning that could place them at a point where they can take advantage of this particularly chaotic moment.
So there's a lot of smoke. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of smoke. And
exactly. There
are examples in the past of that smoke turning into opportunity for China. So what do we learn from this? Lessons learned, because we're in the middle of the SVP drama. We learned the other day, I believe, when the Secretary of the Treasury was testifying to Congress, that there were major depositors in SVP who were directly linked to the Chinese Communist Party. So I'm presuming that this is a longstanding dance between the PRC and Silicon Valley. So what have we learned from this so far, Emily?
I think what you just said points to what is, to my mind, the most important takeaway. At the moment, preceding SVB's collapse, the U.S. tech startup VC ecosystem risks being co-opted by, or at least significantly accessed by China. And that's a real, real disadvantage, considering that U.S. tech, U.S. innovation, U.S. investment are conventionally major national strengths, but not in an environment where they're co-opted by China. And I think looking at that should be the most important takeaway in terms of what happens next, because the U.S. doesn't have to let China take advantage of this opportunity. In fact, SVB's collapse could be used as a resetting point, a chance for the American technological, industrial, VC ecosystem to wake up and say, actually, let's take a more robust approach and seize an opportunity in the market, which is trusted innovation, which is trusted investment. Which is not letting China co-opt the system. And I think that that's actually, there is market opportunity there, and there's market opportunity for investors as well as for companies, but it requires treating this as a moment of resetting rather than as a moment to dig in our heels on an approach that cedes ground to China.
A general question, Emily, how uniform is the suspicion of China? I know it's now in Congress and both sides of the aisle. Is it in Europe? Is it in Britain? To your learning, are different parts of the EU saying, what are you worried about, and going ahead with providing access to their technology?
It's increasingly uniform. Europe, the UK, major US allies and partners, and major international tech hubs are now awake to the China risk in a way that they weren't even just 1 year ago. And that's also why there is so much market opportunity for founders and for investors who are moving away from China co-option or China penetration, because there is a new agreement, which means that tomorrow there's going to be a new market demand for players that aren't infiltrated by Beijing. And that's exciting, but it demands new entities, new actors coming in to fill the gap and to be the ones actually to seize this market opportunity.
Silicon Valley Bank to be sold to Emily de la Barriere and Nathan Pekarsik, senior fellows at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.